This is the Friday, May 13, 2022 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The planting window opened, but the word of Gov had more to say on the direction of the trade. For the week, the nearby wheat contract added 69 cents, while July corn declined 4 cents. The reaction to USDA was mixed in the soy complex before a breakout day higher to end the week's trade. The July soybean contract expanded by a quarter. July meal dropped by $4.30 per ton. July cotton gained $1.59 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, June Class 3 milk futures fell by 56 cents. The livestock sector was down. June cattle lost 67 cents. August feeders shrank 667. And the June lean hog contract decreased by 335. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index increased by 98 ticks. June crude oil strengthened 26 cents per barrel. COMEX gold fell 76.10 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index lost almost 5 points to finish at 765.50. Joining us now to provide some insight is Naomi Bloom. Dull week, huh?
Never a dull moment in these markets.
It hasn't been. Let's start with wheat for a moment on, and it applies to a lot of these markets. We think that you always talk about the traditional, the weather market is now until pollination. So when you have strange weather, a delayed planting season, the market reacts one way. And then a report comes out and the market reacts in a different way. How can both of these things happen in the same week?
Well, this is a year where everything is not normal. Again, it goes back to those nine commodities with the tight grain and oilseed, the tight ending stocks. And that's what still is setting the stage for this whole thing. So as far as the wheat market goes, on the USDA report this week, they cut the old crop ending stocks. They cut new crop ending stocks so that they're going to be smaller than the old crop ending stocks for next year. The weather was a factor because we saw abandoned acres on the USDA report for Texas and Oklahoma. So that is definitely affecting the market because production is down for the winter wheat crop and the winter wheat ratings are still bad. And then you look at the spring wheat market where that crop is, you know, really behind on planting just like everything else, with producers in North Dakota and Minnesota really going to be in a struggle to get anything in the ground. So weather markets and USDA reports combined for an explosive wheat market this week. And I think actually you're going to still see that wheat market continue to climb. And we're not out of the woods yet.
So we mentioned it earlier, talking about the president's idea of double cropping and putting some more wheat into the pipeline domestically. We can't really do that right now. That's very hard to do, but something to think about maybe in October. But is it needed?
Okay, so here's the skinny on that. So with what was suggested, it still needs congressional approval, and it's not anything that's going to be helping this week because they need both soybeans and wheat. This is what the reality of the situation is. So if this were to go into effect, it's not until for next year. And then I don't know if there's time that we get, you know, get the congressional approval. Does everybody on the same page? That type of a thing. And between now and then, we still have to find out for sure what India is going to be growing because their crop is getting smaller, along with who knows how the Chinese crop is going to fare. So there is still, from a global perspective, we're not out of the woods. And yes, it'll help that the United States could grow potentially a little bit more wheat or more soybeans, but we'll talk about the double crop acres for the soybeans too. It's not going to be enough.
Well, but that's the thing. As we move into corn for a moment, I mean, you mentioned these areas. We have a couple of questions about prevent plant and things like that, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. It's been nonstop rain, no action. Those are new corn acres that have helped contribute to the greater commodity total in this country. We need a trend line. Where does the market go if we don't get there?
Yes.
With anything into the ground?
So for corn and trendline, the USDA did something they haven't done in over a decade, where they did not use their February baseline projection yield number. We were thinking it'd be like 181, because that's what they said in February for yield, and they already backed it down to 177, which is still near record, same as last year kind of a situation. So you're still asking the market for a lot. So if we don't have 177 yield, we're in trouble. And the price of grain has not reflected that yet because if we don't have the yield out there, if we don't have 177, we're sunk. We are sunk. The demand is that strong. The new crop demand and the new crop marketplace, we have ending stocks tighter than this year already projected for next year. So looking at the corn charts right now, We saw the market get up to the 755 area for DEIS contract and then back off, go back up, test it, back off, and now we're back up to that price point again. If we can get through 755, you'll see December corn hit $8. That's the swing objective higher. So we are going to be trading crop progress reports. We're going to be trading every single weather forecast. We're going to be watching demand and watching, of course, the weather around the world still.
Okay. What do I do?
Well, as a producer, I think a lot of producers for old crop have been moving it because they've been able to get that $8 cash marketplace. And seasonally, there is a strong tendency for corn, soybeans, and wheat to now work higher from this point in May until the middle of June. A lot of times that June price peak will coincide with the USDA report. So on any sort of a rally, you're going to still want to be looking at making cash sales for old crop. If you have any, you're going to want to be courageous then to go ahead and pull the trigger on new crop sales if you're feeling comfortable with your crop. And then that's the price point where we'll want to start looking at doing some hedges to protect unpriced bushels because you just never know what black swan might come in. Or maybe we'll end up having perfect weather when all is said and done. But I don't think for right now the market is done going up. I think we will see another leg higher.
Well, I have Mitch and Hull's question that's very similar to what we've discussed. I'm going to be real quick. He just said same things that you just talked about. But his last part is a little more specific. Do you expect us to set new highs on the DEIS contract before June?
And that I can't answer because that would be dependent on the crop planting pace would have to be extremely behind. And we're, of course, behind right now, 22% planted. Normally, we're 50% planted. I don't think we're going to be more than 50% planted on Monday. On my drive here, Wisconsin, maybe 25% planted. And when I came through northwest Illinois and eastern Iowa, it was barely maybe 40% planted. So, and that's where we've had some potential progress to get things done. And you think about the poor folks in Minnesota and North Dakota, who are just looking at swampy fields from all that rain. So, but I would say probably not necessarily that we can see that higher price before the end of May, but definitely I think it coincides before we get to the June WASD report.
You've already talked about beans a little bit and how it folds with those other two. Is there anything different affecting the soybean complex right now other than meal?
Well, so soybean complex is right now keeping an eye on making sure our exports stay strong. We saw the USDA account for stronger exports for old crop. They increased export demand for the new crop year. They increased the crush demand for the new crop year. So those are things that are important. And they used big yield numbers. So we are talking about all those extra acres. We're talking about big yields. And so if we don't have the bigger yields or if we see any prevent plant acres come into play, especially in the Dakotas or Minnesota, then you have a situation where the new crop bean price would have incentive to rally because, quite frankly, we need all those beans. We really do. The world needs it, and so we want to make sure that they get in the ground.
All right, I look at the chart again on the NOVE contract that's on the screen now. Similar to that corn, couple of drops, headed back up, but we not quite to that technical level before. Is that a technical or a fundamental story right now impacting the November contract?
November contract has been brewing up a little higher because of the fundamentals. Technically speaking, it's smack dab in the middle of its trading range. If it can get up to resistance, resistance is only about 40, 50 cents higher. If it could get through there, again, that's going to be a combination of continued strong demand. We would need a planting delay story to continue to happen there. But the upside would be $1 to $1.50 higher to all-time contract highs for soybeans for that new crop price. So again, we're not out of the woods. We have 9 commodities with the tight ending stocks, and we're not going to get it fixed this year. And the world then, of course, didn't have a perfect growing season either. So now we're going to see the residual effects go into the next year. So it's going to be, unfortunately, high prices on grains for a while.
High price in dairy, too, but then a little sell-off, and are we stabilized yet there?
Yeah, so front-month dairy contracts have been up between 22 and 25, so near all-time contract highs. We've had awesome export demand, especially for butter and for cheese. Domestic demand has kind of softened a little bit as it's the end of the school year. That's a little bit normal, but overall milk production had been still kind of trending lower. We have a milk production report next week. That's going to be the next cue for the dairy complex.
Meats in live cattle specifically. I mean, the story continues to kind of float around. There's political pressures on the packers right now, and the price is paid. And has anybody benefited from all this chatter? Packers or the consumer?
Well, I would say that the cattle producer has not benefited. but we've known that for a while. Packer values, I don't think that they've seen a lot of fantastic value here recently, but I think going forward, what we're going to be seeing with the livestock market, probably just a little bit of back and fill action, sideways trading action. The front month contracts can do to just follow cash markets. They're oversold. I think they're going to start to work higher, but the friendly story continues to be those deferred contracts and how production is going to be down next year just because all those cattle have come to market here recently. Long-term cattle story is still friendly. I think the demand is going to be there for the rest of this year because the consumer, from my understanding and from what I see at the grocery store, they're not changing their spending habits too much and they're not changing driving patterns too much. So there's always that fear of, oh, gas prices are so high, so they're not going to buy steak. Well, no, that's not true.
Which gives fuel to the why lower prices if we're able to. If you're willing to pay it, let's move forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So the feeder, though, has been in a tough position because they had a 2-day window to buy some lower corn, and then the big input's been in a problem. Then we're falling off the table. How much lower can this go?
Well, I actually think feeders are going to be at a point where they're going to start to stabilize here for just a little bit. Looking at charts, they're at the lower end of their downward channel. Prices at this time, I think, probably just stay in some range-bound trade. But we're going to be at that situation where we're going to be watching to see, okay, who's going to pay up at these higher values, who's going to be confident and comfortable going forward with the high prices that are there still overall, especially with high-priced grains looking to continue.
And in the hog market?
Hog market, you know, here's one good thing about the hog market is that from a technical perspective, front month contracts finished their downside objective that was a head and shoulders formation on the chart. So technically speaking, okay. I think they're going to come up for air and have a nice recovery bounce higher. The situation and the reality with the hog market, though, continues to be that the demand, of course, for exports has fallen back. We have seen the producers reduce their production amounts, but overall, we don't have the domestic demand to kind of fulfill a necessity to push the price too much higher. But from a technical perspective, we're ready to see probably a good 1 or 2 week recovery.
Okay. We have to cover in Market Plus, we have to cover more of your drive and what you saw in your windshield tour and what's going on in Wisconsin, and we'll have that in a moment.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Naomi Bloom, thank you so much. That will do it for the installment of the TV show that we call Market to Market. We're going to keep going in that section I just called Market Plus, so join us there. Find that on our website, which is free, by the way, the website and the Market Plus at markettomarket.org. Now, you may be watching us on delay from your normal viewing time. You know, it's spring planting season and all. That's the beauty of the podcast. Download and go with any of our three offerings, including the MTOM. Check where you get your podcast to also download our Market Analysis or Market Plus. Next week, we look at the work to repel rabies. Thank you for watching and have a great week.